Good morning. Are we going to rise up on wings as eagles today? I hope so. Welcome to the service. It's always a little bit different when it's like this. Maybe next month we'll be able to sing, which would be good, wouldn't it? Fantastic. So great to see you all here. I'm going to introduce the service by reading from one of Richard Rohr's books. It's called Everything Belongs. It's about the gift of contemplative prayer. At the start of one chapter, chapter two, it's called A Vision of Enchantment. And these few sentences are from a book by a Russian author, Fyodor Dostoevsky, called The Brothers Karamazov. And he says, "Love people in their sin. For that is the semblance of divine love and the highest love on earth. Love all of God's creation, the whole and every grain of sand in it. Love every leaf, every ray of God's light. Love the animals. Love the plants. Love everything. If you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in things. Once you perceive it, you'll begin to comprehend it better every day, and you will come at last to love the whole world with an all-embracing love." Let's pray. O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and all beings. Help us become a community that vulnerably shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in all the holy names of God. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. And good morning to those of you who are watching online this morning as well. I just want to say something about singing. Who likes to sing? So do I. I find it really a challenge because I've been playing the guitar and singing for a very long time. And to actually play and not sing is messes with my head a little bit. But I've come to realize that not singing, in a sense, can be a sacrifice. An offering back to God to let go of something that I am used to and accustomed to, that I don't have to participate in to worship my God. So just tuck that away, and as we do, as Trevor and I play through the other songs in the service this morning, and the words will be up on the screen, take the words in your mind, but allow the music to wash over you and worship you, worship God wordlessly. We do not need words to worship God. Having said that, We're going to do a responsorial psalm together, which Ken's going to chuck up on the screen. And it's a mixture of the NIV, anglicised version, the contemporary English version, and the Message, and only some of the verses. So Ken, if you could put the first bit up. What we're going to do, we're all going to say that bit together as Ken's got there, and then this side will say the verses that are numbered oddly, and this side will say the verses that are even numbers. But I think, are they in bold as well, Ken? Odds. Yeah, that's good. That's cool. Yeah, so odds and evens, all right? Odds on this side, evens on that side. But for now, let's say all together, Lord, we praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. We know that full well.
Lord, where have you been guided from the Spirit? Where have you led from your real presence?
If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our beds in the depths, you are there.
If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea,
even there your hand will guide us, your right hand will hold us fast.
Then we said to ourselves, why are we deceives us in our heart, at night we are immersed in the night?
It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you.
Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful, your world will never be beyond
them. We couldn't even begin to count them any more than we could count the sand of the sea. And all together, Lord, we praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Your works are wonderful, we know that full well.
Your works are wonderful, we know that full well. That includes all of us. Do you see yourself as wonderfully made? I hope you do. Trevor and I were talking earlier, just after we finished practicing, about the Holy of Holies, and you know, the Old Testament Holy of Holies, into which only the priest could go. But because of Jesus, we have access to the Holy of Holies. And that Holy of Holies isn't this building or somewhere else we might go, although the places we go are places of worship. But the true Holy of Holies is in here, physically within each of us, where God is present. That's the holy place. And the words of this song, My Secret Place, reflect that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning, all. The reading this morning is taken from the Message, and it's Spiritual Blessings in Christ, from Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 10. The God of glory. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift, giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Leo. As usually, David usually does a children's talk at this point in the service, which we're not doing this morning. The children are catching up online with Kristen and Kirsten later on in the morning. They're doing that on Zoom and having their usual conversation and chat and get together. But what I'd like to do right now is pray for them and their families. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of children. And Lord, even the gift of grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Lord, we pray particularly this morning for the families that are part of the Vines that will be catching up with Kristen and Kirsten this morning, and just pray your blessing on their meeting and all that they talk about and all that they do. May it be a significant moment for them. And we praise you and thank you, dear Lord. Amen. Advertisements, notices, etc. Now, you would have all received digitally or hard copy, a copy of The Grapevine and the Grape. There's hard copies out in the foyer if you need a hard copy of that. One thing that's not there is Elaine's having a plant stall this weekend, isn't that right, Elaine? Yesterday was the first day, and it's a fundraiser for the church. And yesterday, Elaine raised $127. So that's pretty cool. Oh, and the two Bobs.
And Ron.
And Ron. Ah. So you girls are really getting your two Bobs with, aren't you? Sorry. Yeah, so that's on again this afternoon between 2 and 4. So if you'd like to buy some plants, the details are actually in the Grapevine. So pop down and see Elaine and Bob and Bronwyn and Bob. I just want to say something very briefly about spiritual direction, because David Pryor said something last week that triggered off a thought with me. I've had a spiritual director for 10 years. And I don't know how many of you know anything about spiritual direction. You could term it spiritual companion. And spiritual companionship, spiritual direction, is simply two people journeying together, a spiritual director, a spiritual companion, and one other person, and talking about the experience of God, your experience of God, And spiritual direction isn't about the director or the companion. It's about your journey and your experience and your connection with God. I spent from 2017 to the end of 2019 training at Tabor to become a spiritual director and have qualified in that discipline. So I just mention that because I think if ever there was a time for people to really go deeper with God, it's any time really, but in this season of COVID and all of the challenges that we face with that, it raises a lot of questions about God and where is God and so on. So if you'd like to explore that, there's some flyers that look like that I've put on the table out there. For those of you online, I hope this doesn't sound like a boast, it's not. I do have a website and it's davidmacavena.com. And for those of you who don't know me, Macavena is spelled MCAVENA. That's it for the notices. Okay. Colin, thank you.
In confidence we come in our prayers as we recall the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. So we come in our prayers. Dear God, we come to you as people needing your guidance to face life and your touch to give us courage to be your people of integrity in a world of need. We live in a world, as you well know, that has many contradictions. There are so many people of goodwill, but so many who bring disasters, especially to innocents. To the many women and children and men who suffer at their hands. It seems that night and day there are so many who cry out for justice, healing from sickness or wounds, and food and shelter to keep them alive. And so, O God, on this day, we bring those people before you. And we pray that we may be always diligent in compassion from our hearts and goodwill and care from our hands. At the same time, we often feel impotent in a world of need. Therefore, we pray for world leaders, and especially for the leaders of major world powers, that they may plan to make the world great, rather than their own state a master of others. We recall that your scripture tells us that in your creation, the world was good. Help us as your creation to find goodness again through living in your spirit of love. We pray for your church worldwide that its expressions in mission may be in service to humanity rather than in endless ritual. May it be viewed for its compassion and kindness and acceptance. As we battle the worries of the COVID epidemic in our world, help us to allay our fears in the good use of wisdom that you give to us through your Spirit of grace. O God, we would be remiss not to pray for those of our congregation and our friends who are not well and who may well be suffering difficult circumstances. And so as we think of them now and bear them up to you, we bring their names to you.
Thank you for hearing our prayers. And in hope we would say, blessed are you, O God, for the loveliness of the created world and for the promise of even greater loveliness in the world to come. In the lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Takes a little bit of getting organised. This morning I feel very privileged to continue David's Anchor series. It's always a big challenge to do justice to someone else's theme. So lots of prayer and reflection and meditation have brought me to this moment. So today is the 13th link. Let's that be a lucky 13. The 13th link in the chain which connects us to the anchor. The relentless love of God. I really dislike the cold weather, so the following piece of trivia causes me to shiver. Did you know that in a typical year, about 1 billion snowflakes fall each second around the world? That is enough, so they, whoever they is, say, that is enough snow to make one snowman for each person on the planet every 10 minutes. Well, just a bit of trivia. But of those billions of snowflakes that fall each second, no two are identical. Each one is unique. That's a lot of snowflakes, but then the world's population is around 7.8 billion people. Could it be even more than when I read that? And no two people are exactly alike. Even identical twins had their idiosyncrasies. Children born to the same parents, living in the same house, having the same upbringing, can be different. I would suggest that there is no one in the world who is exactly like you. Each and every person is unique. So then, who are we? Our identity is influenced by so many factors, by our genetics, by our parents and the family into which we are born, then the other people who enter our lives and just leave a little bit of themselves every time. As we grow, we build friendships, and once more, some bits rub off. Teachers influence us greatly, either negatively or positively. I wonder how many of you can remember a teacher who taught you far more than reading, writing, and arithmetic, you can guess my age by that, by how they treated you outside the classroom, by how they affirmed you and made you feel special, or indeed sometimes the exact opposite. There have been many people in your life who have shaped you to become the person you are today. There is no one who is exactly like you. So, who are you really? Well, above all else, you are God's precious child, created to be loved by God, and loved as though you were the only person that God had to love. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. Doesn't that make you feel wonderful? Isn't that just so special? And the psalmist says that God created our innermost being, knitted us together in our mother's womb. He knows all about us. It's a bit scary sometimes, isn't it? For those of us who have been privileged to have children and grandchildren, there is no feeling so immense as that first sight of your child, whether it's number one or, I dare suggest, number 14. Well, I'm not sure about that, but anyway. As you hold that amazing, tiny, vulnerable, precious little person, all that is in your mind is the desire to love, care and protect this little one, no matter the cost. This is my child to love. I don't expect anything else. It's just my child to love. How much more then does our Creator, the God of love, feel about us? Sadly, our children can sometimes choose to reject our love and pursue a life that is harmful for them. God has given us free will, so we can choose to ignore God, go our own way, and live a life unworthy of Him. But do we wipe our children off when they choose a life of which we do not approve? When they wander far from what they were taught, even when they actually reject us and our hearts are devastated, do we stop loving them? I don't think so. Do we not hope and pray that they might one day come to the door and say, "May I come home?" The joy of that would be overwhelming. Jesus told a story of a father and two brothers. One did all the right things, helped his dad and lived an acceptable life. The other got tired of his life, grabbed his inheritance and sought greener pastures. But he eventually found himself penniless, living among the pigs. And for a Jew, that was the absolute pit of degradation. He decided he had no choice but to return home. He must have been terrified about the reaction he would receive, but there was nowhere else to go. What he wasn't to know was that every day his father had scanned the horizon looking for his beloved son. And one day he saw him coming. So all dignity went out of the window, was thrown away, and he ran to meet his son, threw his arms around him, brought him in, treated him like royalty, much to the consternation of the one who had stayed. This is a parable of God's amazing, unconditional, all-forgiving love for his children. You know, no matter how far we might stray, no matter how many wrong things we have done, no matter how much we reject God's love, God will not let us go. Will always be waiting for us to come home. Will never love us any more or any less than he does in any given moment. God's love does not change. This is how God loved us. Loved the world. He gave his unique son so that everyone who believes in him might not be lost, but have eternal life. Through the love and grace of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, God provided a way for us to come back into his family, loved, forgiven, restored. God delights in those whom he has created, but doubly delights in those who choose to accept his love. One of our granddaughters said to me quite seriously the other night, "Grandma, do you have a favourite of your three boys?" Well, they're pretty tall men now. I was quite taken aback for a moment, and then I said, Well, no, darling. We love them all equally, but just sometimes one may need us just a little more than the others, but they are all equally special. Sometimes God has to work hard to break down the barriers which his children put up, but God never stops trying. God has no favourites. All are equal in his sight. His love never runs out. I've said that lots already. I'm wanting you to believe that, that God's love never runs out. Francis Thompson was born of Catholic parents, began to study for the priesthood, but lost his way and ended up destitute, ill, and an opium addict. His poem, The Hound of Heaven, describes his futile flight from God. In these words, he reflects upon the inescapable, relentless love of God, which never gives up. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears I hid from him, and under running laughter, upfisted hope I sped, and shot precipitated down titanic glooms of chasmed fear. I fled from those strong feet that followed, but with unhurrying chase, an unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy. This is just 12 lines of 182 which constitute this poem. It was a long fight and flight. God eventually caught up with him, and he spent his final years in a Catholic monastery. The undeniable truth is that there is nothing in all creation that can ever separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. We are loved, we are restored, and we have a purpose. God wants to have a relationship with us, and a relationship with God by its very nature requires a two-way connection. Because God loves us, we want to live in that love, which means that we must make choices which demonstrate that we are different, set apart to reflect Christ in our living, to make a difference to the community in which we live. This does not mean that life will always be easy. Far from it. Some of the choices we need to make, if we are to profess the name of Jesus, will set us at odds with those around us. Last week, David reminded us that God's Holy Spirit is poured into our lives, dwells within us, as David has reminded us this morning. Because of this great gift, any difficulties we face may leave us a little battered, but never defeated. We have strength for whatever the journey that lies ahead. We have courage to overcome the greatest odds, peace in the wildest storms. We can even get knocked down and manage to pick ourselves up again. The Holy Spirit helps us to be calm in our hearts, even when life seems unbearable. But most of all, the Holy Spirit helps us to be instruments of God's grace and peace in this very unsettled world in which we live. Hear these words of advice from the Apostle Paul. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the centre of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realised. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. God calls us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love those around us with the same gracious, forgiving, unconditional love that God has shown to us. These words from a very old hymn have been playing in my head all week, and I think they say it all. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. A good man was very ill, and his friends came to comfort him. They remembered his good deeds and how he had always cared for the lambs of Christ's flock. One prayed, "Lord, you know how he loves you." "Ah, my friends," said the sick man, "do not say that. When Mary and Martha went to Jesus, their message was not, 'Lord, he who loves you is sick,' but rather, 'He whom you love is sick.' It is not my imperfect love for him that gives me comfort, but his perfect love for me." Our hope is grounded, firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Will you pray with me? Gracious, loving, eternal God, we can never fully comprehend the depth of your love for us. No matter how many words we speak or books we read, we are not worthy of your love, Lord, because we constantly miss the mark. But nothing changes the love you have in your heart for us. This morning we simply want to say thank you for loving us so completely, and we make a new commitment to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.
Amen. Just before we pray, I'd invite you just for a moment. I noticed, anybody notice it was raining outside? I love rain. It is such an extraordinary gift. And if we didn't have water, if we didn't have rain and rivers and lakes, we would be undone completely. So just for a moment, close your eyes and just see if you can recall over the last several days anything that you have experienced of God, including the rain, and give him thanks for it.
Thank you.
hear these words of God. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has such deep love for you. Go in peace, knowing that you are loved beyond all measure. Amen.